Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, most people see January 1st or January 2nd, or at least the 3rd or 4th, as a time for new beginnings, a time to get things right, a time to set goals in health, in job performance, in education, in financial performance, in relationships, a time to find new purpose in life. Usually that time is January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 4th. But for Christians, historically, Advent is that time. The season of Advent marks our new year. And Advent is here already. Third week of Advent, now, today. Advent is a time of new beginnings. It is the beginning of the church year. And yet it's so much more. It is so much more than the beginning to just prepare to come and celebrate some great festival called Christmas, where we light candles and sing special songs. Advent is the time of our life when God, our Creator, would have us reconsider His new life in our old life. Advent is a time that God calls us to recalibrate our hearts and our minds. A time when God calls us to reallocate our energy, our time, yes, even our treasures. A time when God calls us to reflect on what we have done and what we hope to do in our life. A time to realize who we are in this creation. And who we are as we stand before an all-powerful, almighty, all-holy, all-perfect, and yet all-loving God. Advent is a time we saw 2 weeks ago, a time to repent. It's a time to repent of the things we have done and not done. It's a time to repent not just of our actual sins, but of our sinful nature. A time to repent of our desire to always want to be like God or God. We look in the news today and we see many people who are resigning because of things they've done. Repenting and resigning are not the same thing. Resigning means you quit your job. Christians are called to repent. Advent calls all Christians to repent, to be sorry for all the things we do and don't do that God calls us to do. And not just be sorry for them, but to turn away from them. But repenting, if you're honest with yourself, it's not easy. Last week, Pastor James talked about how Advent calls us to wait. We are to wait for God to speak, for God to act. We're to be silent before this all-powerful and perfect and holy God because He is God and we are not. He is the Creator and we are His creation. But if you're honest with yourself, waiting is not easy. We're not just born with the ability to be good at waiting, to be good at being silent, to be good at patience, especially before an all-powerful, perfect God. It's not something we just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm just going to become better at waiting and being silent and being patient. These are things we have to learn. Patience and waiting and the ability to be silent before an all-powerful God is something we have to learn. And so, if we're honest with ourselves, Advent, as God would have us celebrate Advent and live in Advent, it's tough stuff. It's not always all the holly and jolly and the tree and the lights and the fudge and the fun. Because if Advent is about recalibrating, reflecting, and repenting of the heart, the mind, and the soul, and if Advent is all about waiting for God to speak and telling my mouth to be quiet, waiting for God to do and telling myself to be still, well, that's tough stuff. And then the question that I have for us today is, what is one to do when one has no more heart, mind, or soul left to reflect, repent, or wait. When it's too hard, too dark, too lonely. When you and I get too sick, too weak, too poor, too hungry, too hurt, too angry, too frustrated. How can we do all these things that our God calls us to do this Advent when we're too, you fill in the blank? The answer is we look to God. We look to the one God who can do all these things. And today, in our Old Testament lesson, God points us. Isaiah, through God, points us to where to look. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Isaiah prophesies. This is important stuff. It's important to note these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Upon who? Where is God's Spirit? Where is the Spirit that brings this life and this light into the darkness and the death? When you open your Bible, from the very opening verses of your Bible, you will find this Spirit. Back when God created things, back in the beginning, you will find the Spirit was at work. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible begins. The earth was without form. It was void. It was nothing. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit, the Bible says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the very next line, and then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then 5 days later, on the sixth day, we see how God's Spirit breathes life into a lifeless clay pot called Adam. And it creates life. And God creates life in His image by the power of His Spirit. And years later, God would have this prophet named Ezekiel go into a valley filled with dry bones. Prophesy, Ezekiel, son of man. Prophesy, speak the living word of God to these dry bones. So Ezekiel follows God's command. He starts prophesying to these dry bones, these dead and dry bones, and they start rattling. They start coming together, and flesh comes upon them, and ligaments come upon them, and blood is in them, and flesh and skin comes upon them, and hair is on their head. Prophesy, God says. Prophesy to the breath, because they're standing and they got flesh and bones and blood, but they're not breathing. So prophesy to the breath, son of man, prophesy. And so Ezekiel does what God says, and he prophesies to the breath, and breath comes upon this valley of dry bones, this army of dead people, and they begin to breathe. And then the same God who breathed the breath of life into Adam and who had his prophet breathe or prophesy the breath of life into these dry bones, he says these words. I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live, and you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken it, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The same Spirit who created life in the very beginning promises Ezekiel on these dry bones life by the power of the Spirit. And so when we hear our Old Testament lesson today, we see another prophet pointing us again to the work of the Spirit that brings life and light into darkness and death. Isaiah prophesies, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Then we hear what the Spirit's going to do. He'll bring good news to the poor. He will bind up the brokenhearted. He'll proclaim freedom to those who are held captive. He will comfort those who mourn. He will clothe with garments of salvation. He will clothe with robes of righteousness. In other words, this Spirit will bring light into people's darkness. He'll bring life into people's death. And so the big question today is, where do we find this Spirit? Where do we find this Holy Spirit of God that does these things? Because you and I need these things. We need light in our darkness. We need life in our death. We need comfort for when we mourn. We need the good news when we're poor. We need our broken hearts mended. We need freedom to the things that held us captive. Where do we find the Spirit? We find the Spirit in the gospel lesson for today. We find the Spirit on whom He anoints and brings that person into His work, into the wilderness of this world. It's not on Isaiah. It is on Isaiah, but not in its fulfillment. Isaiah points us to its fulfillment, but it's not in its full fulfillment on Isaiah. It's not on Ezekiel, not least in its full fulfillment. Ezekiel points us to the one whom the Spirit is upon. He gives us hints as to where to look. We find the Spirit hovering on the one who He anoints in the water. If you look closely, He's in the water. No, it's not on John the Baptist. But look right next to John the Baptist and listen to John the Baptist's mouth, and you'll see the one on whom the Spirit rests, on whom the Spirit anoints. Behold, this is the one, John the Baptist says. Look, he points at him. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this Lamb, what does He do? He comes down into the waters. And when He comes down into the waters, John the Baptist himself is surprised. Why are you coming into the waters? And look, the heavens are opening. And look, there He is, the Spirit coming down in the form of a dove. And what is the Spirit doing? He's hovering over the waters. He's hovering over this Jesus. Just as He did at the dawn of creation, hovering over the waters, hovering over the Word being spoken, doing what He does best, bringing life, bringing light. And don't just look and see the Spirit. Listen and hear. Open your ears. Because when the heavens are open, the Father is speaking. Just as He said, let there be light, and there was light. The Father speaks because the Spirit is hovering over the waters. And what is He speaking? This is My Son. This one. Don't look anywhere else. This is Him. In Him I am well pleased. The Father speaks upon this one. The Spirit is upon this one. And Jesus is His name. Because He will save His people from their sins. And now what? Beautiful ceremony. Beautiful dove and beautiful voice. But now what? The Spirit's not done. He leads him out of the waters and takes him to a wilderness where Satan is located. He takes him to be tempted. Why would He take him to be tempted? To win over temptation. And then the Spirit takes him to the sick and the infirm and the contagious. Why would He take him there? To heal the sick and the infirm and the contagious. And then the Spirit leads him to those who are burdened by sin, who are riddled with guilt. Why would He take him there? To free them from sin, to forgive their guilt. And then the Spirit leads him to the poor and the brokenhearted and the depressed. Why would He take him there? That's depressing. So He can bring comfort and joy to the poor and the brokenhearted and the depressed. And then the Spirit leads him to the dead. Why would He go there? They're dead. To raise the dead, to give them back to their families alive. And then the Spirit leads him to the cross, where He will be tortured and crucified. Why would He do that? He's going to die. Get Him off the cross. The Spirit leads him there to give up his own spirit for you and for me. And then the Spirit leads him to a tomb and leads him to be buried into death. Why? So that he could bring victory over death. Because the Spirit won't leave him in the tomb. He leads him to resurrection and life so he can bring true light and true life to all of his creation. And there's one more move the Spirit has with this Jesus. He leads him to you. And that's an important move. He leads him to you. In the deadness of your sin, in the stubbornness of your heart, in the rebellion of your mind, there is the Holy Spirit leading Jesus in water, hovering over water, and in the Word spoken by the Father. Hovering over you, bringing light into your life, bringing life into your death. Open your ears and hear those words again in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We began our service with those words. You know those words. It's in those words and by those words that the Spirit found you. It's where Jesus found you. It's where your Heavenly Father spoke to you in the water and in the Word. You are my child in whom I am well pleased. I love you. I forgive you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And it is there that your heart, mind, and soul was brought to a new life. It was there that you received the light of the world that shines in the darkness. No, we can't recalibrate. We can't reflect or repent on our own because we're that dead on our own. We can't wait or be silent before an all-holy God. All we can do is tremble. We can't choose to live when we're already dead. We can't create light, especially not in the thick darkness of this world. But the Holy Spirit, He can, and He has. And this Holy Spirit has brought you to life, a new life, by bringing to you Jesus, by putting Jesus into you through water and Word. He brings light into your darkness every time you gather and hear His Word, where two or more are gathered. He brings light and life into you every time you come and kneel and receive true body and blood for your forgiveness. This Holy Spirit follows you wherever you go. He gives you new life and new light. If you're brokenhearted, if you are downtrodden or depressed, if you are just fed up with the world and yourself or whatever, take heart. There's a most powerful Spirit. And He's brought Jesus to you. And He's clothed you with His salvation, with robes of righteousness. He's clothed you with Jesus. And so, what was true for Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is true for you today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and you because of Jesus. And that's really good news. Because no matter how dead you feel or how brokenhearted you feel or how depressed or poor or sick you get, you don't have to go find or search for the right answer. You don't have to go find the Holy Spirit. He searches you out. He's found you. He's brought Jesus to you. He's brought new life and light to you. And now you get an incredible privilege, an incredible purpose. You get to leave here alive, not dead, bound up, not brokenhearted, filled with joy, not depression. Yes, you're going to have your struggles in life. We all do. But you have the Holy Spirit bringing you Jesus over and over and over again. And you get to go out and fill people with that same message. You get to be the light of the world. This is not the light, and these are not the lights. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Go shine brightly. In Jesus' name, amen.